That'll do it for our program, but Messrs. Shadrick, Lagerman, and Baselli are set to wrap up training camp, or mini camp, I should say, their own way. What's up, fellas?
Good afternoon, Mr. Frangie. What's up?
Well, you know what? Mini camp behind us now. That 39 days begin, right?
39. Count them down.
39
to days. To the end of July.
Yeah, what was your take? What was the take takeaway from these last couple days?
Much better football team. I mean, just athletically, I think it's a much better football team. But, you know, there's still a lot to be evaluated once the pads get on as far as evaluating the big guys and all that. But, you know, you can clearly tell that this team, talent-wise, is much better. And you can tell that without pads on for the skill position guys and, you know, even the big guys to some extent, just because, I mean, you got some film to evaluate on them, but, you know, the book is still going to be open on some of them until the pads get on, and then obviously you got to find the solution on the offensive line and what direction that's going to go.
I think they looked, with Jeff, much more athletic, faster. I think they look bigger, too. I think the young guys getting a couple years in the program, some of the free agents, obviously a guy like Malik Jackson's a mountain of a man. I just think they look bigger. They look – I remember 2 years ago when – or maybe it was three years ago, we were in London, and Jeff and I were sitting in Wembley Stadium, and the Jaguars walked out and the San Francisco 49ers walked out.
Right.
And we both looked at each other like, uh-oh.
I called it.
Uh-oh.
Tony was optimistic in that game, I was like, man, this is not going
to
be
well,
good.
Well, I was trying to fool myself, but as soon as they walked out of the tunnel, both teams, and Jeff and I looked and I said – which one looks like the NFL team here? And not anymore. This team looks, I mean, like, a lot to evaluate still, a long way to go. But, boy, for the first time, I mean, I think we're always optimistic or try to be optimistic this time of year. But I think it's realistic optimism now where this team, if the young guys take the next step as far as on the field, which by what we've seen in training in minicamp, would give you every – impression that they're going to, they can contend in this division.
Absolutely.
And
you just hope that over the next 39 days, nothing bad happens.
Well,
I'm knocking on wood right now.
But Jeff, that's the thought for all 32 teams right now. Every head coach and every general manager excused all their players, and they all left, and they're all holding their breath right now saying, oh, my, please let's not get a phone
39
call.
39 days is a long time.
In the middle of the night.
And we talked about that, Tony, during the program today. Is a college coach? I know a lot of college coaches, right? College coaches are worried about that phone call. We worry about as parents. You know that call you worry about. Well, I wonder if NFL coaches, is it that, or am I worried my guy's going to eat too much pizza in the next month? Is it?
No, it's the phone call. It's the phone call.
It's still the phone call, even with the NFL guys.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Do you not read the news?
All the above.
Yeah.
Go to Pro Football Talk, and that's all you got to do is realize that. Oh my.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
But the good thing is that, you know, it appears that you have a good locker room. You know, it's not like you have a roster full of delinquents.
No,
you know,
but Jeff,
they're still concerned.
They're still young men in their 20s that have a lot of free time and a lot of money and a lot of energy.
Right.
And so, listen, I don't think anything's going to happen, but Jeff's right. It's something you always hold your breath. But I also thought you got really good news coming out of this camp that Kelvin Beachum's going to be 100% full go, basically.
Day one
of training camp. I know he was pushing.
And I don't know if that's the case.
But. Well, I know he was pushing hard to get out there for OTAs and for the minicamp this week, and they held him out. There's no reason to.
He's been working hard.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a full go, and I think we're going to see a real competition for that left tackle position.
And I'll say one to something you guys said earlier. We talked about this, too. The key thing in terms of how much better the team is, guys like us who don't have nearly as trained an eye as the two of you do, we could see the athleticism too, man. You know, you could, it was a wow factor for me, Jeff, going out there, watching Tayshaun Gibson, watching Dante Fowler, watching Ngakoue. Man, they're faster, quicker. They look athletic. I don't think they look bigger.
Let me add one name to that because, I mean, you're right. Fowler and Ngakoue look very good. Malik Jackson obviously looks good. You know, seeing Roy Miller out there at the end of for mini camp was a positive sign. Sheldon Day, I mean, has stood out every day that I've seen him on the practice field, whether it been an OTA or mini camp. I love his work ethic. I love his motor. I love his quickness. he's going to help this football team. Yeah, he's going to help this football team, I think, in more ways than one.
You know, you get the sense of watching them with all the guys you just mentioned and Jeff mentioned that for the first time since Gus has been here, on the at least on the defensive side of the ball, they can actually run and be who they want to be.
Well, that's all the talk.
I think they've always tried to, but really didn't have the personnel and the speed and the athleticism.
Or the coach, in my opinion.
Yeah. Jeff, I don't think the personnel. They've never had a Tashawn Gibson who can play center field.
No, I agree with you there.
They haven't had the pass rusher.
But you also have to have a guy that commands respect at the front of the room, and I'm a big believer in that. That makes a big difference. You know, and having Todd Walsh, who is somebody who does command respect, is going to help that defense immensely. You know, I like Bob Babich, but there was a reason why Bob Babich got demoted from coordinator back to a position coach in Chicago. And I think Gus made a mistake when he hired Bob as the defensive coordinator, and he had Todd Walsh on his staff at the time, and it was a great opportunity to probably have Todd in that. But, you know, it probably ended up deflecting a lot of criticism on Todd, you know, for the first couple of years because of the personnel deficiencies. But I'm excited that Todd Walsh is in that role. I'm excited that Monty Kiffin is in the room to provide another voice, and that Gus is obviously involved, as he's always been, and they've got the personnel to do some things on defense. It's going to be exciting to watch.
All right, the next time we see these guys, it'll be training camp. It'll be for real to wrap up this mini camp and the OTAs. Jaguars Thursday starts now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. Driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome into the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. A full house tonight and plenty to get to. The end of the offseason program. Final day today, not on the field. The One Orlando Fund. We'll get to that coming up. The Blake Bortles Foundation, the City of Jacksonville, the Jaguars Foundation all helping contribute to that fund. We'll talk about that tonight and break down where this team is now with 39 days until training camp 2016, and maybe a special guest in the studio tonight. Dave Caldwell might swing by and jump on for a few minutes with us, the Jaguars GM, to get his thoughts as the offseason program comes to a close. Yeah, Jeff, what's up?
He got a little bit of work done today.
Yeah.
Made a few roster transactions.
True.
That, you know, nothing major, but, you know, I think a couple of the moves indicate, especially with Craig Lawston, it indicates that, you know, you've now finally gotten to the point in the secondary where you feel confident in with some of the new guys that you have in the development and the drafted guys that Craig Lawston was kind of a bubble player, and it's time to let a bubble player go, you know, because you're clearly better in the secondary. You know, you don't have to have him on this roster. So I know that was a positive move, and it was a much-needed move because Craig Lawston really wasn't getting many reps throughout OTAs and mini camps with the depth that you had in the secondary, and then his young player at Michigan that's kind of been, you know, getting taken notice, I guess, over the last couple of days and throughout the OTAs when he's been here. So it's going to be fun to watch that group because, you know, they've got a lot of options.
Mr. Baselli, good evening. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Excited. I mean, we talked about it at the top. Excited about where this team is right now. As excited as you can be. I mean, you always take it with a grain of salt this time of year because of the fact that, you know, they're just running around in helmets only. But athletically and speed-wise and seeing Miles Jack out there, obviously we didn't see Jalen Ramsey, but the reports are he's going to be 100% go.
Yeah, you could see him running on the sideline.
I got is that if we were playing a game this week, he'd play.
If you listen to him talk, he was ready to go.
And
no
so,
doubt.
I mean, I think you couldn't ask for much more. I think, you know, what Jeff said about Craig Lawston, I think, you know, what it tells you is they got their free safety, and they probably got three guys fighting for that strong safety position out of Josh Evans and Sample and Sip. You know,
it's going to be a good battle.
It's going to be a good battle. And
it might be a battle that goes throughout the season. You know, if one guy, you know, has a
stretch. Yeah, it might not be just one guy playing that position.
If he's playing well, he continues to play, and if he has a couple of bad games, somebody else goes in. You know, that's good to have.
And I'm excited about the offensive line and kind of the prospects of what could happen there. I think the depth is better at that position than we've seen in a long time. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the left side. We saw a little bit throughout OTAs, not as much during minicamp, seeing Luke Jokel get some reps at left guard. So I think it's a pretty interesting time where, listen, we're always, especially me, very optimistic about this team and want to believe the best. But, you know, for the first time in a long time, you look at this team, it's like, hey, Blake Bortles continues to play the way that he played last year and gets better. This is a team that should be there to fight for the division title and play in be in the playoffs.
I got a question for you. A.J. Cann had, I think, 51 starts at left guard at South Carolina.
Yep.
Last year, he played right guard because of the injury to Brandon Linder. You really don't have the left guard position settled yet. In your mind, you know, assuming whoever's playing left tackle, whether it's Beecham or Jokel, right tackle is Parnell, center is Brandon Linder, where would you play A.J. Cann? And then who would play the other guard spot?
I would play A.J. at right guard because of how well he played last year. I mean, he for a rookie, Jeff, what he was able to do and go in there, he proved that going to the right side didn't bother him. And why would you change it when you know at this level he can play right guard? And he got better throughout the year. I'm not going to say he was great last year, but he was very solid and very good for a rookie. And so you expect him to get better. So I would not upset the apple cart. Him and Parnell worked together for, what, 14 games, 13, 14 games, yeah, whatever it ended up being. Mm-hmm. So the communication's there. They're comfortable with each other. I don't think you mess that up, especially with a young player. And a right tackle, listen, that was Parnell's first year starting.
Yeah, he's got a lot of room to improve.
Yeah, and he's a young player, not age-wise, but experience-wise. So why mess that up? Listen, I think ultimately
– So who's your left guard?
I think it's going to be Luke Jokel. If I was laying money down right now, I'd say Luke Jokel is going to be your left guard. What I saw, and again, you know me and OTAs and offensive line play with no pads on, you know, don't make too many judgments about that. But I think Luke, athletically, he got bigger. He's never struggled in tight spaces, even at tackle with guys, you know, in a four technique or a head-up player or just a tight shade player. So I think he'd be okay, and I think he gives you a lot of versatility, especially in the zone game, because he can move and cut the backside off and he can pull. My gut says that Beecham's going to win that job.
Okay, so if you've got those five as starters, okay, on game day you go in with seven. Are Shatley and Josh Wells your 6 and 7?
Yeah, right now. I mean, I think, you know.
Gus talked highly about Wells today.
Yeah, by the way. Wells looked good except for the times when Dante Fowler was but Dante gave everyone fits this minicamp. So, I'm a big fan of Josh Wells, always have. I think he can play both sides. I think he's a more natural left tackle than right tackle. So, I think he gives you the ability to swing. And I do think Shatley's your backup center right now.
I think Shatley deserves an opportunity to compete.
Yeah, I asked you this last week. What's it going to take to get Shatley in the lineup?
Well, his only position he's going to start at is if he can win the left guard job, and how much of an opportunity are they going to give him to win that left guard job?
The injury to Bowenko, I think, kind of upset that apple cart a little bit. You know, because if Bowenko is on the field, Bowenko more than likely or has a good chance of being your backup center, and he's cross-training at other positions as well, and it might have allowed Shatley to focus in on one position, but right now you need a backup center.
And that's Shatley.
Yeah, right now it is. You know, so, but I mean, that's just, to me, it's interesting that, you know, Shotley's a guy that I like, you know, and when he's.
But do you like him more than any of those other guys right now?
Oh, I don't like him more than A.J. Cann.
Okay.
But Jokel at guard versus Shatley at guard, you know, I want
to see
Jokel at guard.
I'd like to see that competition. And you got McKenzie
Bernardo
yeah, from Dallas. That, I mean, listen, he's a guy who started, has had success. He's going to compete for that left guard. I don't think it's going to be given to Luke. And so I just don't know how much cross-chaining Shatley's going to get, because who's going to be your backup center if it's not Shatley? Who's your number two center out there?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen, you know, A.J. Cann. I mean, he probably could snap,
again,
but that's not what they want.
Not as a young player, you want him comfortable at one position.
I don't – I mean, Bernardo does play center, I think, at times. Has played center at times in the past.
So maybe you do a little bit during training camp because you always do this, and Gus is a big believer in this, and so is Doug Marone, to cross-train guys. So maybe for a week you put Bernardo at center and put Shatley at guard and see how that plays out. Listen, that offensive line, I mean, I think the
you're
right
side – You're going to have to get it settled pretty quick, though.
I think the right side set. I mean, let's just call it – it is what it is. I know there's always competition, but your center and right side are set. I think there's going to be a lot of competition. And I think – and I'm not giving this job to Kelvin Beachum. And I've been a defender of Luke Joeckel since he got here, and I still think he's going to be a good I think he's going to be a starter on this team somewhere because I think he's a good football player. But if you go based on just the tape of last year when Beachum was healthy and Joeckel's healthy, Beachum played at a higher level at left tackle. Now, he still is coming off the knee. Talking to him, watching him move, he looks great. He is very confident. He is a confident dude, which I like. And so I think it's going to be a great battle, but I think – the challenge, and Jeff, you brought this up, they got to make that decision quickly because you want your five guys comfortable together. I think within the first two weeks of camp, that decision's got to be made.
It's got to be made
who your starters are.
This morning here at Everbank Field, Blake Bortles and Mayor Lenny Curry combined for an announcement. The Blake Bortles Foundation is donating $10,000 to the One Orlando Fund, and through the Jaguars Foundation, a $25 contribution to the fund we'll get you an Orlando Strong cap. To donate, visit jaguars.com/jacks4Orlando, and the collection period ends Friday, June 24th. So a nice little week coming up of donations for the folks down in Orlando. SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. We'll talk Jaguars defense when we return. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
The Blake Bortles Foundation, we'd like to start off by giving to the One Orlando Fund $10,000. And, you know, we know that's not near a sufficient amount of money. There's going to need to be a lot more in order to help these people out. But this is something that we want to do and kind of lend our support, as close as it is to me and my family and everybody I know that is still in Orlando. We'd like to do that and kind of kick this thing off.
Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles earlier today here at Everbank Field. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. The offseason program is done. 39 days until training camp.
39 days until we get to watch Miles Jack again. Mm-hmm. It was nice to watch him for 2 days.
You know, there were going into it, you knew there'd be a little bit of a curve when you actually get on the grass for the first time and set out of the playbook, right? Could you see a little bit of hesitation?
Yeah, you could see that he was still trying to figure some things out, and, you know, he's talking a lot to the coaches and trying to figure things out. But, you know, when he was just instinctive and moving freely to where he looked like he had some confidence, man, he can fly. He can run. You can see when he drops into zone coverages. You know, a lot of times linebackers have a hard time kind of feeling what's behind them. And so the really good linebackers are the ones that can kind of drift one way or the other to kind of find their way underneath a receiver. And he's got a little bit of that, you know, from what I saw. And that was nice to see. And when I say cover ground, he can cover some ground now. And he looks stout now. I mean, he was supposedly lighter, I guess, going into the draft than he had been in the past. If he's lighter, I would like to have seen him when he was heavier because, I mean, he looks thick to me. He looks thick.
Well, I mean, listen. He's one of the reasons you look out there and say, boy, they're a lot more athletic. I mean, the guy is just a natural athlete who can fly around the field. And, you know, the belief is, at least my guess is in this room, that when the nickel package is out there, it's going to be him and Telvin Smith, and you have two of the faster linebackers who can play football in the league. I mean, you can cover a lot of guys, and you can do a lot of different coverages, and you can match up.
As long as he understands what he's doing.
No, I agree.
I mean, you would expect those two guys to be on the field. I mean, it's too much speed to not have them.
The question I have with Miles Jack is, where does he play in regular downs? Is he the backup mic?
Great question.
Yeah.
I don't think he's
if he's the mic, that means Paz is off the field.
Well, I don't know if he's stout enough to play auto.
I think he could play all three, to be honest with you.
Put him out now, somewhere.
Could you? Is he long enough? I think it would be a good question. Is he long enough to play auto to where he's lined up on a tight end?
That's my point.
That's a great question.
Is he going to hold the edge? Well, that's when I say size-wise. Is he stout enough size-wise to line up in an under defense to explain everyone listening to, which is the base formation the Jaguars play? There's a shaded nose technique. There's a three technique, which is a defensive tackle over the guard, mm-hmm. and then a ghost, which is the Leo, a ghost end outside the offensive tackle away from the tight end. To the tight end side, there's a guy which head up on the offensive tackle.
And that's the strong side end.
That's the strong side end. And then there's a auto, which we used to call a Sam linebacker, which is lined up in an outside shade in a two-point stance of the tight end. That Sam / auto linebacker has to be able to play the run in a physical nature in two gap or hold that outside gap against an offensive tight end.
Yeah, the one area that though that he would.
So the question is that something he can do? Hold that edge.
The Jaguars play up front that's kind of similar to that. It's basically what you call an eagle front where you have a three, which is obviously
Malik Jackson,
but then the six technique is an end, and then when you play that, it's to the tight end, and then the auto position
the
is really off the ball, so he doesn't have to play right on a tight end. So I mean, he could
do
that.
That's more of an over front.
Yeah, he's more of a you know, off the ball linebacker, and he can run and flow and those type of things. So I think that they're going to find ways to utilize him. And look, I mean, you're going to put your best three on the field.
But Jeff, don't you agree if Miles Jack is your auto linebacker? It dictates what front you can play. You don't want to be in as much under with him on the line of scrimmage.
No, you don't want him on a tight end.
Want to play more of an over 4-3 over defense where he's off the ball.
You want him
which has not
off
been
the ball and running.
Which has not been the base defense the Jaguars have played.
No, but it's one that they have.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, we'll find out the true answer to that because we're going to find out the exact answer to that because we've got the GM in studio, Dave Caldwell. And Dave,
what's up, Dave?
The talk. First of all, good evening.
Good evening.
Congratulations on a successful mini camp with no injuries.
Glad to be here. Knock on wood.
The utilization of Miles Jack. Do you guys have a vision for that yet, or is it something that's you got to figure out?
No, I think we have a vision, and I know before we drafted him, it was a big conversation: is where do we play him? Do we play him at will? Do we play him at Mike? And or do we play him at auto? And I think what you'll see is we said let's put him at Mike first. He learns Mike. He learns the whole defense, right? And then it's a lot easier to move him from Mike to Will or Mike to Otto, then move him from Otto to Mike or Will to Mike. And then I think we'll see how it comes along. Paul Posluszny is having a great offseason right now, and he looks as fresh as ever. Talbin's doing a really nice job at the Will linebacker, and Scoot is doing well at the Otto. So, and when we took Miles, I think everybody was concerned about the history and what his situation was, and I remember saying, well, we don't need him to come in and start right away. Now, if he proves to himself that he's one of the best three linebackers, I'm sure our coaches will figure out a way to get him on the field.
Dave, that's a nice problem to have, isn't it? Where how are we going to make it work?
Yeah,
because that's not a question you've had to answer in the past with this roster.
Sure.
Like, now you have a guy that how do we find a way to get him on the field? Where in the past it was like we have to play this guy here.
That's right. That's right. And I'm sure he'll find himself on the field one way or another. If it's not the first play of the game, it'll be maybe the third play of the game or some way, shape, or form with his skill set. We'll see. We have a lot of time between now and our opening game against Green Bay, and I'm sure he and our coaches and the rest of the players will figure it out.
When you first took this job, I remember talking to you, and it's always been kind of the philosophy is we're going to draft – good football players. We're also going to draft smart based on what kind of scheme our coaches want to run.
Sure.
And talking about the three linebacker positions, most natural is either probably Mike or Will for Miles Jack, just based on his skill set, his speed, his athleticism, his size, and everything else. If he ends up being, if him, Puz, and Telvin Smith are the three best linebackers to put out there, Does Miles have the length to play that auto slot, or you know, in the old days called the Sam linebacker position, in that the base defense that the Jaguars want, that Gus and Todd want to run?
Yeah, I don't think it'd be an issue. He's you know, he's a 240-pound linebacker. He's over 6 foot tall. I don't foresee his that being an issue. And the percentage of plays where our auto was actually on the line of scrimmage last year, in our base defense, you know, we were only in our base defense, I want to say 40 to 45% of the time. And then of that percentage, the auto on the line of scrimmage, it's probably 25% of the time. So I'm sure Coach Bradley, that's a nice thing about Coach Bradley and Wash's scheme, is it's flexible. And there's ways to put guys in position to succeed. And if he had to do it, he could do it. It's not an ideal situation, but we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it.
So what's this year been like for you? I mean, because, you know, year one, two, three, now here we are all of a sudden in this year, to where you get to look at this team with your eyes at this point. How different is it this year than it's been the last couple years?
Well, it's exciting. I'm excited for our players, our coaching staff, the city of Jacksonville, and because we have a chance. We have a fighting chance this year, and that's the best I felt in an off season going into the regular season, and that all we're guaranteed is a chance. Now the rest of it is up to us to perform. But I remember Coach Braylon and I saying, I think after the first or second year, we were sitting there and we said, let's stay convicted in the process and how we're going to build this. And we said it would take, you know, a period of time. And we'll look back after 4 years and we'll say, that was the right decision. That was the wrong decision. We didn't do a very good job here. We did a good job here. And I think at the end of this year, we'll be able to answer a lot of questions.
Dave Caldwell with us, Jaguars general manager on Jaguars Thursday. You want to flip it over to offense now?
Yeah, before we go to offense, real quick, coming out of the OTAs in minicamp, outside of everyone being pretty healthy and, you know, going into camp with at full strength, what was the best thing you saw out there?
Speed. You know, speed on both sides of the ball. Chris Ivory, the addition of him, a healthy Julius Thomas. Alan Hearns looks faster than ever. Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee. On the offensive side of the ball, T.J. Yeldon, Corey Grant, who's got rare, like...
He's crazy speed.
I made the comment the other day, I don't think I've ever been in a camp with a man that fast. And that's exciting. And then defensively, we ran a blitz the other day, and I don't think Blake could get the ball up before we were there, surrounded by him. And those are exciting things. And but, you know, the other thing, too, is the attention to detail, both from our offensive coaches and defensive coaches, that I can see where our players are playing fast because they're paying attention to detail.
And as part of that, you know, with Todd Wash being elevated to defensive coordinator, I know that it was a process you're involved in with that coach, Gus Bradley. How happy are you with that in place, with Todd Wash being in place and the defensive staff as a whole, and with the addition of Monty Kiffin kind of be another voice?
Very good, and I think, you know, we get some experience there with Monty. But I can only go off of A, what I see, and B, what the feedback I get from some of the players, and how they say, you know, Wash, you know, holds them to the details, and he's like, and he's driving me crazy, but it's good, you know, those type of things. And and then what I see out there, it just seems like it's a unit that's playing together.
Dave, you mentioned Marquise Lee a moment ago. Healthy through an offseason, I think for the first time here. And he'll bring a different dynamic to the offense this coming training camp, I'm sure.
Yeah, Marquise is, you know, somebody asked me, you know, is this for real? And I said, well, I would think so because we haven't seen it, you know, in this time of year. So he's extremely talented. He's made a point of taking care of his body. Not that he hasn't in the past, but I think he figured out some things that are successful for him. And I think you know, he's a guy that's very passionate, and he's not soft. He's extremely tough, and the people don't realize that about him. And he's maybe one of our better blockers as a receiver, and highly competitive. So we always said that, you know, with receivers, it takes a good 3 years for guys, and I've been around guys, you know, that are Hall of Famers, Reggie Wayne and Roddy White, and where it's taken them a good full 3 years to get to that point. I think we've been spoiled by the Allen brothers, and you know, we always try to compare those two and how they've come along so quickly. But I think Marquise is probably right on schedule, though, probably where the majority of them are.
Well, the one thing that I noticed with him the very first OTA, and I actually had a chance to talk with him at a later point, was my first impression of him, he lost weight. You know, I think last 2 years he was probably right around maybe 200 pounds. It looks like he's down about 190. Was that you talk about him getting to know his body better. Was that something that he did on his own, or was this something that he worked with maybe a trainer or a dietitian or whatever to find the best way for him?
He's been working hard with our nutritionist, Mindy, and his diet, but he's I think he was about 196 is where he was at just past week. But I think what Marquise, what we found with him is he never really had soft tissue injuries at USC. He had one injury, but it wasn't a soft tissue injury. But what he did in the offseason, he ran track. And we kind of realized that he probably can't stop running, you know. And I think he's made a good point of continuing that running program and doing a lot of good things and keeping his body active. And when he's not conditioning or training, he's doing active recovery type of stuff. And he's been good. So we'll see. And this is a contact sport. You know, football players, unfortunately, like any sport, suffer injuries. As long as they do the right things and we try to reduce those occurrences.
Staying with one last question for a break with Marquise Lee. How much of it is just the maturity, a maturation that he's gone through as well? I mean, young guy, leaving SC early, you know, long way from home. I mean, you know, if you're following him and everything else, I mean, I can tell the difference of watching him like most young guys. But
sure.
I think we did get spoiled with Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. They were very mature for their – you know, age and being rookies at such at that position. How much is this the maturation process of him just, you know, learning to be a pro, learning his body, understanding what it takes to perform, because it came really easy for him at SC and he's had to work a little bit harder here.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's not just the maturing and taking care of business, but it's a physical maturation. And he was 20 years old when he came out in the draft, and everybody matures at a different age and point in time. And I think now his body is just kind of slowing down a little bit, and it's starting to gain good muscle mass, and he's starting to, you know, become a NFL professional.
You want to stick around for a minute, Dave?
Sure.
We'll be back. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions. And they will take it from here. More Dave Caldwell after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
And SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli, and GM Dave Caldwell with us. We talked Miles Jack earlier. Let's go up front now. Dante Fowler Jr. on the practice field. And the guy has looked fantastic in this offseason.
He's done a nice job. A lot of credit goes to Dante and the work he's put in the last 12 to 14 months, and you know, our coaching staff and our training staff and our medical professions. It's been a team effort, and you know, and got to give a lot of credit to Dante.
Yeah, you would expect to watch. I mean, just like when Senderek came back last year, you could see the hitch in the step. You know, coming back from an ACL. I haven't seen a hitch.
No,
Dante Fowler's step.
He went 0-60 within about 30 minutes of his first practice.
Yeah, and he's moving so good. And the thing that has stood out, when you guys are lining up, when you talked about earlier about the blitz and everybody was in Blake Bortles' face, you guys have been able to have, you know, two very athletic Leo-type guys on the field at the same time, in Ngakoue, who was your draft pick from the University of Maryland, and Dante Fowler. Wow, what a difference.
Yeah, and they should both offer you a lot of flexibility in Coach Wash and the game planning, because when you think Dante's coming, he could be dropping. When you think Yannick's coming, he could be dropping. And the two of those guys can actually do some pretty impressive things in coverage too, and especially in Ngakoue, and you know, his fluidity and his change of direction and his athleticism and speed is eye-catching.
I'll say this about Dante, because he probably impressed me as much as anybody on the field during the OTAs and the mini camp. And as an offensive tackle, always gauging the guy you're blocking, it was the guys with the quick twitch that could get on top of you before you could get a good set that you always had to be even more conscious of and more technically sound, because they were going to be they're going to be right in your face before you know it. And Dante has that. You watch him come off the ball and the explosion, the change of direction. We were talking a little bit in the break. I agree with you. I think he's going to show speed to power because he's heavy-handed. Listen, I think it's still dangerous, but too high of expectations as far as sack numbers, because he's basically a rookie, and rookie defensive ends sometimes have a hard time of finishing.
Sure.
Getting to the quarterback. But I might have changed my number, Jeff, on the over-under.
I'm not changing my number.
After watching.
I still think he's going to be a fantastic player, but I'm sticking with my number.
What were the numbers?
Yeah, it was five. Over-under was five.
Over-under was five.
Because both Jeff and I agreed, as everyone was talking in OTAs and everything, that it's unfair to him to set these expectations that all of a sudden the pass rush and everything's going to be great because a guy who hasn't played football in 18 months is going to come out there and be a double-digit sack guy.
Sure.
I think ultimately he can be that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair to do that to him. It's basically his rookie year. But after watching him, I was like, if he can transition this to when the pads are on, he's going to give guys fits. Now, I don't know if he'll be able to finish, because that's the hardest thing for defensive ends to do and learn how to beat the guy and then finish to the quarterback and get the sack. But as far as being disruptive, my goodness, he has some freaky speed. I'll say this, Jeff. We haven't had a defensive end here with that type of athletic ability.
Is this since me?
No. since Tony Brackens. With that change of direction, quick twitch.
Rob Meyer.
But that quick.
Rob Meyer's a good football player.
Very good.
Yeah. But since Tony Brackens,
that's about right.
That's the type of power and quickness he has.
Well, I think that you're right about finishing, but I look at it differently. It's not finishing on the field on the quarterback. It's finishing after the first four games when NFL tackles can now study him
and figure it out.
Is he going to stay ahead of the curve? What's he doing? How's he doing it? And sometimes you see some of these young defensive ends, maybe the first couple games, they catch some guys by surprise, and then all of a sudden there are some really good professional and offensive tackles in the league, and they kind of study them and figure it out, and then all of a sudden you get a little lull in their
It's hard
production.
To study the shake that he has, though. That's hard to study that. Now,
let me just say from an offensive tackle who lived it, you can study it all you want. But if you have special quickness and special shake,
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You better just do your dang job right, because they're going to be on top of you before you know it.
He's got a good little inside move too, which is pretty impressive.
The play that really stood out, and I know we're not supposed to talk about specific plays,
but you're going to
OTAs,
anyway.
But I am. It was a play that there was, you know, the quick throw to Brian Walters, and you know, he's lined up on the edge and he plants his foot, changes direction, and run out there, and he probably didn't finish the way you'd like to have it finished.
Sure.
Essentially, you know, slams Brian Walters to the ground.
But I didn't see that.
But that was the edge that he played with at the University of Florida, and that's the type of player that he is. And when I saw that, I said, that's the guy that I watched on college tape, and that's the player that I want to see him be when it comes to Sundays.
Well, I do know this. He is a very explosive, quick twitch, like you all said, but he does come with bad intentions. And he'll bring an element of physicality for sure.
And Ngakoue has given you guys, as you talked about, great flexibility. And I just wanted an update, because one of the guys that I was very excited about, and I think I told you this after the draft, was Woodard, your seventh round pick from what was it, Central Arkansas?
Yep, yeah.
A guy that I thought things just kind of came real easy to him.
Sure.
Physically. He tore the Achilles during some on-the-field stuff. How is he doing?
He's doing well. Stitches are out. He's getting some range of motion back and doing good. So we'll see. We'll start him on PUP if we can leave him there. And you never know, come December and hopefully January maybe at some point in time that, you know, we might need him. So, you know, it's a 7 to 9 month injury and we'll see how it goes.
What about
– it's wishful thinking, but yeah, we'll see.
Another guy that I think flashed during OTA as a young guy is Sheldon Day.
Wow.
Mid-round draft pick, you know, again, it's early. And
offensive linemen are not liking him, by the way.
We'll see what it's like.
Neither is the offensive coordinator. he said the one day, we can't run the ball with him in there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I always – as an offensive lineman, I always said, okay, let's see when we get the pads on. Yeah. We can start, you know.
There's a few offensive linemen already sitting there going, wait till we get the pads on with him.
I'll say what we'd be saying in the meetings. It's like, we got something for him when we put the pads on. We'll make sure we slow him down. But he is
he's quick.
First of all, I mean, just watching him in OTAs, how do you go in the fourth round?
I don't know. Fortunate for us, but I think this time of year I don't get too high or too down on any players. There's a lot of time between now and the start of the season and who's going to make this team, who's going to contribute. But I know, like Dante, once he gets the pads on, the explosion and the quickness and the disruptiveness isn't going to go away. Now, you know, there's going to be some other things that are going to take place, but those things should still transfer over, which is how he's kind of made his living the last couple of weeks.
I'll tell you where a guy like that is even going to be more dangerous with the new rules of how limited offensive linemen can cut on the backside. Because that's how you slowed a guy like that down.
Well, you know,
I mean, in the old days, I mean, you start throwing on the back of his legs and say, all right, you're going to go up the field like that. We're going to hit you in the knees
and try
to slow you down. But those rules are different now.
The success for him, too, is, which people don't realize, is he's relentless. He is – he knows one – he, like Dante, knows one speed, and it's full goal all the time.
Yeah, we didn't like guys like that in practice.
No.
We were – they would really make us upset. Jeff wasn't like that.
No. he had a little bit of a tempo to it. He'll learn the tempo. But, you know, when you watch him and you talk about how he knows one tempo, when you watch Dante Fowler, it didn't matter what the score was.
Right.
Whether you're winning or whether you're losing. With Sheldon Day, it was the same way. Doesn't matter what the score is.
Sure.
It doesn't matter, you know, winning or losing. Same player every time.
That's right.
That's what I love about him. And I said this to you after the draft. I thought he could play Leo.
Yeah.
I think he's that athletic.
That's right. He is very for a 305-pound guy, he's very athletic.
Him and Senderic are very similar in that they got ugly bodies, but man, they can play. They do. Yeah.
They are. Senderic looked good going through the bags the other day. I was telling him I was encouraged by seeing him night and day from last year, and he's starting to feel comfortable. His knee's feeling good, and his triceps feeling good. So.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you. The knee was never quite right last year. Torn triceps tendon. Obviously, there's a gauge of where that is at because, you know, the weight room, et cetera. Sure. Is he doing good with that?
He's doing good. He's fully cleared. He's been lifting some serious dumbbells and weights, and so he's been cleared by the doctors and everything. So come start of training camp, he should be 100% ready to go, no limitations.
I walked through the weight room the other day. We didn't have these back in the day. You guys have 200-pound dumbbells in there?
Those are for me. I ordered
those for you? Yeah. I was wondering who those were for.
Yeah. Special ordered them for the
boss.
Those
things are huge.
I would not have been using those.
Who uses them besides Shatley? I'm sure Shatley
Roy
does.
Milo.
Roy Miller and Shatley probably, right?
Roy Shatley. I'll have to ask Milo. That's a good question. I have not seen him personally, so I'm in the cardio phase of my life.
You going to stick around, Dave? Good? One more? You got to roll?
See.
What do you got?
I got one more of me.
Okay.
All right.
We'll come back.
That's good. We only have one more in this, too.
Yeah. Same for everybody. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
And check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. Remember, World Cup soccer is coming to Everbank Field. Clinton Dempsey and the U.S. men's national team, they'll take on Trinidad and Tobago September 6th. Be the first to find out about tickets at jaguars.com/USMNT. And they're playing tonight, too. In the tournament that's going on. Copa.
I'm glad I've actually watched a little bit of that. That's pretty good stuff,
you're
man.
A soccer tournament. Guru.
Iceland, by the way, had a very nice showing yesterday.
Was it chilly?
They had a tie, which, I mean, for Iceland, I mean, there's not a lot of people in Iceland now.
That went right over his head. He missed it.
I did miss that.
Jeff Logman, Tony Maselli, Dave Caldwell with us as we take a look around the National Football League.
We're going to see how much trouble we can get Dave in right here.
I like this. Von Miller on Instagram says there's no chance he plays under the franchise tag in 2016. Wants that long-term big money contract turned down with a $114 million offer. The deadline to negotiate is July 15th.
Yeah, but the issue is there is not the $114 million. It's the fact that they only offered him, I think, you know, $40 or $50 million guaranteed. And what's-his-face, Fletcher Cox, just got $63 or $65 guaranteed.
And then Ndamukong Suh got a whole lot, too.
Well, and listen, Von Miller's sitting there saying, wait a second, I just won the dang Super Bowl for you. I'm MVP, and you're going to let a guy who's not – doesn't have half the numbers or qualifications I do, get more guaranteed money than I. In a general sense, Dave, as a GM, when a player that you franchise basically comes out and makes the comment, I'm not playing for the franchise, does that how does that affect you? Is that just part of the negotiation process in your mind? I mean,
yeah, I mean.
Not, I mean, not coming on the Denver yeah, season, yeah, but just yeah. in general.
I think it wouldn't really have much effect on us in terms of our thought process, and I'm sure it doesn't for most teams. And, you know, I would never say never. You know, I don't like the – you guys know I don't like the categorical.
Right,
You know, I don't know, you know, things change, thoughts change. So we'll see. We'll watch it from the beach this next couple of weeks.
It'll be interesting.
Hey, it's a good problem to have, though. I mean, when you have a talented roster and you have to do things like using a franchise tag.
That's right, yeah. And we, you know, that's the – some of the tough decisions that we hopefully we have in the next couple of years is who to franchise, who to sign, who to let go, who to redo early, and things like that.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, but for I think it's a tough situation.
I like how you said they only offered him $40 to $50 million guaranteed.
Well, no, listen, but in today's market, I mean, for a guy like
I don't think it was 40.
No, I think it was 40.
I think the
guaranteed.
Second one was.
Well, but the bottom line is, I think both sides are in a tough position because number one, if you're Von Miller, you can say whatever you want, but push comes to shove, you're going to be there day one. Because you only have so many years on your body. And from the Denver standpoint, listen, they lost a lot of guys. One of them's on our squad right here. And he's a difference maker on that defense. He makes that secondary a lot better because not very many offensive tackles had very much success blocking him last year.
Well, from a team standpoint, it's hard because you the agents will always want to bring up this player got this. But for every one player that they bring up, that may have got that, there's three others that got paid a lot less.
Right.
So I never subscribed to the theory that you just have to, because somebody paid somebody X amount of dollars, that you have to do it to the player that you want to sign. And if you want him in a free agency, you have to do it. If he's on your team, you don't necessarily have to do it.
The flip side of that is, though, if you from the player's perspective and Von Miller's perspective, is like, wait a second, I'm one of the best pass rushers in all of football.
Sure.
And it becomes a little bit of an ego thing, too.
In my opinion, they should just get rid of the franchise tags.
That would probably make life a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, then that way you don't have the issues.
You're right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let the market set it?
Yeah.
Well, what you'd find is everybody would be doing the deals a year early, and then probably, you know, probably the deal that he was offered probably would have taken a lot less a year ago.
But see, that's my point, is that because you have the franchise tags, that allows teams to delay.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the ability to use that, then those problems are solved.
Right. But
those contracts are done ahead of time. If not, he hits the market.
That's right.
The Ravens release veteran tackle Eugene Monroe. They tried to trade him to the Giants, but the talks didn't work out. Seahawks and the Giants could be suitors. Ronnie Stanley's the left tackle for the Ravens.
Well, listen.
Eugene's, what, 29?
But he's a guy who's been hurt a lot.
Yep.
And the injury he had last year was a concussion. And I'm always I'd be very leery if I was a GM with a offensive tackle who's had a history of concussions and missing a lot of games because of them. And I'm not questioning Eugene whether of anything, but if I was running a team, I'd look at that situation. And I'm like, and the reason the Giants didn't trade for him is like, they didn't want to assume the contract he was being paid.
Knew they wouldn't have to trade for him.
And he was getting paid
pretty
a
simple.
Lot. He got signed a big deal with Baltimore, I think just a year ago. And his salary was big. And here's the deal. If you're a player in this league and you get a big salary, you better be on the field.
I wouldn't say it was a big salary. I think he was due like $6 million this year in the first starting left tackle. That's not a lot of money anymore.
No, but I'm saying it's overall because he got some money up front. I think he was averaging 80
more
a year.
Performance than anything else.
I think he was 8. I don't think it was performance, Jeff. I think it was a lack of availability.
Well, that's performance.
Well, fair enough. But I'm just saying my point of the whole situation was, one, and I know Dave won't say this, great trade because – it worked out for this team. And two, I just think teams have to be careful now the way concussions are handled. And the
so
way
you're not saying any of this is due to his opinion on medical marijuana
I
use?
I don't think it has anything to do with it, because here's the deal. If you're a good player, you can think whatever you want. If you can block Von Miller as a left tackle, you could think that medical marijuana should be legal and be, you know, protesting at the White House if you can block a defensive end.
Put in your Rice Krispies.
I mean, you can, my point is I think this concussion deal, and especially guys.
So should we ask Dave what's his opinion on medical marijuana?
No, let's not.
No, no, let's not go there. We can add the Packers to the list of teams that could be going for two more often than extra points this year. Earlier this week, Ben Roethlisberger said he'd like the Steelers to go for two after every touchdown. They were 8 of 11 on two-point tries, the best percentage in the league.
All
what
right,
do you
so
make of this, Dave?
Dave, analytics is a big part of this evaluation.
That
what
would,
do you think?
That would support that study or Ben's thoughts, you know, going for two versus that. And, you know, if you're a team like us, we missed some extra points last year too. So you better have a good quarterback and a good offense if you're going to do it.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, and the analytics do point towards that and would support Ben. But if you're the head coach, that sounds great until you do it five times and you are 0 for, you know, you're 1 for 5 and you lose a game by 1 point. Because it comes down to, and all you had to do is kick a couple of extra points to win it. You know, listen, I'm a big believer in analytics, but I also think analytics cannot be the only way you manage a game or a team. It has to be part of the overall picture of the decisions you make.
And, Dave, a part of the analytics on that, it doesn't just evaluate the overall
correct
of whether to go for two. It actually involves game situations and point differential.
That's right. Like for us, when the packet that Gus gets on a weekly basis, we'll take into account, hey, we're playing the 32nd ranked defense, or our offense right now is the second ranked offense in the league, and we're going against the 30th ranked. Yeah, it would be beneficial. And or this is a team that in 4th and 2 and 3rd and 2, they're very low ranked in the league, and that's one of our strong suits. So it goes on a game by game basis.
And that's why analytics have to be a part of the conversation game to game. I don't think the only thing you look at in the big picture.
No.
Dave Caldwell, Jags GM, thanks for your time tonight. Have a great offseason.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah. Dave Caldwell, Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato. Happy Father's Day to everyone. And for everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.